Okay, public comments on items on the agenda. Ladies, want to say anything? Okay.
At this time.
This is your only shot today. It's a special meeting, and it can only be on things on the agenda. Okay, hearing none. We're up to the interview. Shall we just,
That should be next year.
Oh, okay. Can we just do it by phone?
Sure, I told him that it would be either or, so when I sent him the email earlier today, there you go.
I can't get the projector to work.
All right, thanks, Josh.
Thank you, Josh.
So, maybe put it up by,
maybe not.
It's a shot of the ceiling.
Okay.
There we go.
That's good.
We're good.
There we go.
I don't think we can get all of us in.
It's fine. I don't have to be in there, or you don't have to be there, or somebody there.
Okay, so how do we,
Jamie, maybe just put it down. I mean, I don't want it to fall off and break somebody's tablet, so.
Yeah, and it's,
And when you want it to work, it never quite does. There you go.
Great.
All right. He's on?
I don't know. He's on.
Notifications. Maybe click on that. Maybe he's waiting.
Guests are waiting to join.
Great.
Okay, how do we do that? I've never used this.
Well, Kim has, right? Didn't you have
Zoom? I have Zoom, but I have no, not this.
Oh, he's there.
So, yeah,
okay.
This isn't.
He's
this.
There.
Hello.
Hi.
Can you hear us?
Can you hear us?
Yep.
Good, great.
Okay. Can you see any of us?
I can see you.
Okay.
I can see the trustees.
That's good.
I can't see Josh.
Great.
Okay.
I'm in the background.
He's in the background.
I'm the guy behind the curtain. Wizard of Oz.
He's the Wizard of Oz, he says.
Yeah, well, everybody needs one of those.
Yeah, we do.
Okay, so as you know, from discussions with Kama, we are looking for an attorney to help us specifically with annexation issues. We're being annexed by Huber Heights. It's a Type 2 expedited. And not just for this, but also down the line to maybe see if we can do anything to stop it in the future.
I spoke to you and I sent you a copy of the expedited Type 2 on CAMA. That was Julie that was just speaking, and this is Beth here to the left. Beth is the longest sitting trustee, 18 years, correct? Mm-hmm. So she's dealt with this a little more. Julie's been on about 2 years. I'm 20 or 33 days in on this. So although I am aware of a lot of the other aspects of it because I've been going to the meetings and so forth, when we talked on the phone, I know that you've had some success with the other type of annexation. You and I discussed that. And then when I sent you over that Type 2, you were able to look at it, and I'm hoping that you've got some sort of action in mind, perhaps. I know that the last one, there was a little glitch in it, and I think that's why they came back with a new one. So we're here to listen to what you can help us try to make a decision on how we can fight it.
Sure. Well, first of all, it's nice to meet everyone. My name is John Roach. I'm an attorney with Frost Brown Todd. Been an attorney for about 10 years. My background is my first 7 years of my career with the city of Cincinnati, first as a prosecutor, then in civil litigation with the city, then last, coming up on 3 years, I've been with Frost Brown Todd, representing a variety of different entities, local governments, also businesses, individuals, primarily in litigation. Our firm has a lot of experience in annexation work. I myself have experience in annexation work, just recently doing a standard annexation, 100% owner supported, went to a hearing in front of the Board of County Commissioners. I presented at the hearing, and we were able to get it overruled by the commissioners. They didn't appeal, so that was successful. And if you have been around and or looked into this, then you understand what you're up against. Ohio law favors annexations. It's not easy to win those cases, and particularly here with the Type 2 expedited annexation. I don't want to build you up and then have you get let down later. You're in a tough spot to stop this annexation from going forward. Realistically, your options are to try and poke a hole in whether they've complied with each requirement under the statute. And if they haven't, you know, I looked at their petition, and I looked into, I was trying to actually speak with Cam, I was trying to look for, you know, is there something more that we could do rather than just kind of poke a hole in the application, because poking a hole in the application is really just kind of delaying it. You know, you win, but then they could just file again. You don't really win. So I spoke with some attorneys here, looked into myself. I don't have a great plan for you. I'm sorry. I wish I had something different, but I don't have a easy way to, or not easy, but even a great plan to defeat this. I think you're in a difficult spot to stop it here. That being said, there are some things we can do. I know that in the past there was some, you know, I don't know the details of it, but my understanding is there was some negotiation with, maybe it was Huber Heights, about a stopping of annexations. You know, that makes sense to me.
So as an approach. Let me just interrupt there and tell you what we did. We wrote an agreement with an attorney from Columbus, and for an annexation agreement. So in exchange for 50 years, no annexation, renewing in perpetuity, we gave up reparations. We said we wouldn't protest any additional annexations within a certain range. There were several other things that we gave them the TIF. We have a TIF on all these properties. And then Huber Heights refused to even bring it to the table. So we didn't even get that far with them, even though our administrator at the time had been in contact with their lawyer and their acting city manager, and they had assured us that all their board had looked at it and had approved it and had thought it was good and blah, you know, blah, 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 blah. But at the end of the day, what happened was they didn't have the votes. The city council didn't have the votes to pass it. They need 5 votes. They didn't have it. And so they just decided not to vote on the annexation. They just let it die, which means then per their city charter, it can come back and it is back with more acreage. So we still have that annexation agreement. I don't know if Cam has sent you a copy of
that. No, I did not. I just talked to him about it.
Okay. So.
So, I mean, you know, we're, in my opinion, you're kind of in a position where you need to either think creatively in terms of negotiating something with Huber Heights or other, you know, if there's other municipalities that are trying to do this to Bethel Township. But you're in the position of either needing to do that, try and find some type of solution that can work for you and Huber Heights, or two, you're looking to try and poke a hole, and here's this, the portion of the annexation statute they haven't complied with, and that argument might be there.
We're froze.
I think the internet just went down.
Oh no. Shoot. Does anybody have a cell phone? Can you text him? Ooh, Julie, you alright?
Every time I take a drink of water.
Oh no. We lost you there for a second. I'm sorry. Our internet went down.
Okay.
You were talking about poking a hole in it.
Yeah, so like I said, I think our two options are, realistically, you know, if you were to bring our firm in, one would be to try and find some kind of creative solution. I think that trying to negotiate something with Huber Heights, and if we could figure out, you know, here's maybe where we have, you know, I don't I don't know what leverage we have there. And that would kind of, that would require some thinking, some communication. I'm not sure, you know, other services that we provide for them, whether, you know, what, you know, what we might have to be able to force that to the table, or alternatively, you know, fighting it by arguing they didn't comply with this section of the statute. So, and that argument might be out there. I'm not sure. My initial read of the application is that our chances of poking a hole in it are less than 50%. So I don't think that we have a strong position there. I think it will be, I would characterize it as a long shot. But, you know, there's a chance. But even if we win there,
they can refile again. Yeah.
So, you know, I wish I had something stronger for you. I want to be realistic with you up front before you bring us in. So,
what experience do you have with TIFs regarding annexation? Do you have any area of expertise in that, or somebody in your firm?
Our firm has expertise in that. That's not an area that I mean, that was a big issue in the annexation I just handled down here in Claremont County. The whole area was going to be TIFed. And so essentially they were going to bring in a bunch of residences, but there was going to be no tax money to support any of the services that were going to be needed for those residences. And so that was a winning argument to the commissioners, because the whole thing just didn't make sense from the top down.
But that wasn't an expedited type 2, right?
No, that was a standard annexation. Okay. So that, you know, that's the difference here.
You're right.
We don't have there's no chance for me to go in front of a board or a judge and argue and, you know, have it, you know, have that kind of dispute and have a chance to win. Here it's, you know, if the Board of County Commissioners decides to hold a hearing, that the other side can force them not to hold a hearing. So, you know, we just don't have the same chance.
Okay.
So to answer your question, our firm has a lot of experience dealing with TIFs, dealing with annexations. My experience with TIFs is not, I would use someone else in our firm if, you know, we wanted to start looking at details of that.
And then,
but our firm is, I mean, our firm, Frost is a great firm. Represent a lot of municipalities, a lot of townships, offices all across the Midwest. And, you know, it's 500 plus lawyers, and they're experts in, you know, each area of law.
What about JED experience? Do you have an experience in that area?
No, that is not a, economic development's not something that I practice in frequently. I'm primarily litigation. So, you know, I go to the hearings, I argue the hearings, examine the witnesses, but it's not, that would not, I would use someone else for specific questions there.
But you have people, and you have other people in the firm that do that?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Okay.
Anything local government-wise, we have a forefront expert in.
What about annexation agreement experience? Do you have anybody that has written an annexation agreement before?
I expect the answer to that is yes. I'm not certain who here has written an annexation agreement, but we have several lawyers who've worked on. We've taken annexation cases to the Supreme Court. I can say with almost certainty that we've had someone here who's written one of those agreements.
Okay. And what about, so this is my last question. So one of the options that we heard of was if we merge with another municipality, we are touched by four municipalities. If we looked into merging with them, that stops annexation. Have you any knowledge or have experience in this area, heard of it?
I've heard of it. I think, as a general idea, if you merge it with a municipality, you can't be annexed anymore. But I mean, whether, you know, the ability to use it here, I don't know with the timing, you know, I don't think that's realistic. You know, maybe that's a solution down the line. And I've looked at that after speaking with Cam. I looked at that briefly, but, you know, I didn't do a full dive into it. I know that, you know, there have been instances where people have had competing annexations, and, you know, even though an expedited annexation was filed first, a later annexation, you know, an annexation filed subsequently was still able to be granted before the expedited annexation. You know, but I don't think that that result really gets you what you want, because then you're still being annexed. So to answer your question, I think I've heard of it. I think it's potentially an option, but, you know, it's something that would require a deeper dive, you know, and to really be thought out. I can't tell you whether or not that's a
for Bethel Township. When you and I talked, you mentioned that there's something called a bargaining in good faith when you do that. And if we get caught with the notion of we're going to try, let's say, New Carlisle, and then we can't come to terms with them, we move on to Vandalia or something, one or the other could say we're not bargaining in good faith. Our intention is not to truly merge, but to fend off any annexation, and then we're in big trouble. So, I mean, he and I did speak about this, but, you know, that opens another can of worms, which is, if our intent is to, like you said, not be annexed, but yet we're trying to merge, and in essence, we are doing exactly what we're trying to prevent from happening. We're becoming a city, maybe a better choice of a city, to some degree. We don't like Huber for a lot of reasons. A lot of people don't like New Carlisle. A lot of people don't like Tip City. But those are our options, you know. Vandalia's on the table as well. So I'm just trying to relay what we had talked about, you and I.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I think it's a potential creative solution. I looked into it today, you know, in preparation for this call, but I didn't see, in the time I spent today looking at it, I didn't see a clear path to do it. And so I don't want to, you know, it's, you know, I don't want to promise that that's the way to go, or say that, you know, we can do that, other than to say, I've heard of it. It's a potential creative solution. It's something that would need to be looked at closer.
I think when we talked too, you mentioned that your firm was one of the larger governmental entity firms that does represent a lot of the, like, Cincinnati and other areas around, doing a lot of contract work with government. So you would have a lot of people who could specialize in different aspects of trying to help us work a plan so that this doesn't happen to us continuously.
Yeah, definitely, certainly.
Were you guys the lawyers for the Sugar Creek Township versus Centerville?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Yes. That was a case I was referring to when I said we've had annexation work go to Supreme Court.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
So. I mean, there's been several others, but yeah, that was the one that.
And he was referred to me by my attorney. That's how I got him. So, you know, and I trust my attorney. We talked for probably 30 minutes when I called and asked if he'd even be interested in interviewing. I like what he's had to say, but again, I'm one vote. So, and I told him on the phone that I would share the conversation that we had together here tonight. So.
So do you guys have any more questions for him about experience or anything?
No, I'm confident in the firm that he's got, with all the background and the attorneys that they have, and that's their expertise. They are the experts in our area, according to my attorney. They're the ones that you would go to. So I was okay when I called him to begin with, but, you know, like I said, I'm one vote.
Okay, so experience-wise, I guess we're done with the questions, but can you tell us about the billing and the rates that you charge and the breakdown?
Yep. My hourly rate is $350 an hour, and that we'll probably use another younger associate. I have one in mind if we're hired by Bethel Township. Her name's Sam Bagley. She has 7 years' experience as a prosecutor, and then was brought... just hired by our firm about 6 months ago, so I'd probably use her a bit for some of the research. Her rate, I believe, is $280, and we would be the two primary attorneys on it. You know, depending on what issues come up, I would reach out to other partners in the firm.
Okay, and what's the increments you bill in?
tenth of an hour every 6 minutes.
Okay.
Bills would be sent monthly. There would be itemized explanation of what we were working on, the charge for what we worked on.
Okay.
He sent me an email on just a voice, kind of a voicemail type thing with not actually a sheet like we got from the other attorney, but just a breakdown. $3.50 an hour, and that was it. Today, this afternoon, when I asked that question.
So. Okay.
So if he's the one we choose, they'll break it down and send you a contract
right.
that you look over.
Right.
So.
Okay. Anything else?
I'm good.
I have nothing. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Appreciate
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Thank you. All right.
Well, nice we'll be in touch.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.
Yeah. I'm good.
Hang it up, right?
Yeah.
Bye. Thanks. I'm assuming that's it.
Okay. Now, I will say this as well.
Thank you.
I talked to the other attorney on the phone as well,
mm-hmm.
From Columbus, and he was just as competent. But he's not going to interview. He said that he's already done that. You've already spoken to him
right,
last year or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
What was your reason for not hiring him the last time? Because he seemed pretty competent
to
me.
No, they were both very competent last year. I think we talked about this at the last meeting. We like Peter Griggs. We like John Albers. I thought that Peter Griggs had more direct experience in writing annexation agreements. That's my recollection.
Right. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
When I talked to him, his thing was that we are pretty much screwed on the 290 that they're taking.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing we can do to stop that. Our only hope is to try to come up with something to prohibit them from taking anything else, such as a JED, some other things that he said. And basically, his approach to all this was, hire me and I'll tell you what else I can do.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fair. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, he's not going to give us free advice.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So during the course of that 10-minute conversation with him, you know, he did have some interesting take on our situation with Huber.
Mm-hmm.
And I was confident with him or comfortable with him as well.
Mm-hmm.
So between the two of them, either way is fine with me. Mm-hmm. I don't know which one you all want to go with, but, you know, either one is competent enough to do the job.
Does Albers have somebody that does TIFs at his firm?
He said he had the experience with the TIFs.
Mm, okay.
So
he has a lot of experience,
yeah.
And he said that he typically fights on the side of the township.
Mm-hmm.
He's only done like one or two, mm-hmm. maybe cases for the municipality.
Right.
So. Yeah, and he was my choice last
okay.
time.
Okay.
Right. I just thought overall he was more rounded and.
He's definitely more confident in his ability than. He didn't talk about hiring this person or that person to do it from his firm. It was all him.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Which, you know, there's nothing wrong with confidence. So.
Well, he did. He did say. So I sent you guys this, right? The.
Mm-hmm.
The email that he sent.
Mm-hmm.
He said he will have some help. And his billing is $300 per hour, and the paralegal is $150 per hour. They bill in 15-minute increments.
Mm-hmm.
So, but he said, you know, if he just does something little that...
So what are we specifically asking? What's our first... What are we specifically asking this lawyer to do for us, first off the bat?
Well, had we had them already, we would have probably used them to review the...
Well, the county's doing that, though, so that's good.
The opposition resolution,
mm-hmm.
not the petition.
Mm-hmm.
But since we have to vote on that tomorrow, and we're not going to vote on this... Well, I guess we could hire one of them today.
So the resolution that we're passing, the main thing that it does is just extend the time out.
I understand.
So I don't know as if hiring somebody to, you're talking about approving our, like looking into our resolution to see if there's any substance to it.
Well, just that they could possibly provide more substance.
Mm, okay. Yeah.
Because, yeah, I mean, I based it on the last one that we passed in 2022, I think it was. And, yeah, that was pretty much it. There was a water and sewer reference in there for staying in the FPA. But I took that out because they're not opposing that this time. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, beyond that, I would say I would like to hear some expertise on merging. I don't, mm-hmm. I know that's not ideal. I know I don't want to do it either, but I think that maybe there's some way we could cut a deal.
Right.
And, you know, that may be the only way to stop it. I don't know. But also, Albers has a lot of experience in that area.
So he has talked about it. Has he actually done a merger?
I do not know the answer to that.
Okay. I didn't ask that question either.
I didn't ask.
okay, so merging and then what else?
Well, I mean, experience in JEDs and TIFs and the other things that are...
He did. Albers did say that the first thing we should do is try to negotiate with, on the 290 that we have now, try to negotiate our end of the TIF with, you know, our best bet would be maybe coming up with an enterprise zone or a JED or something like that.
We have an enterprise zone.
Yeah, well, I don't think he knew that. So, but he said our best bet would be to try to negotiate some of the funds from the TIF to get some of the other things that we want, which could be that they can't take certain areas.
And also, mm-hmm. back to your, what would we use them for? Mm-hmm. That's why I was asking all the questions of him. What about an annexation agreement? Mm-hmm. Because if we don't want to keep the land in the township, you know, and I'm sure they're going to want the land and the TIF that goes mm-hmm. with it, mm-hmm. is have somebody who can do that as well.
I mean, I think first and foremost is an annexation agreement, because without that, this case that he referenced in with Greene County and the city of, I think it was Centerville, but it could have been Kettering. Mm-hmm. The township had the TIF, and they went to the Supreme Court, and the township lost. Mm-hmm. So that, for case law, that does not bode well for us. Right. So we'd like to get something in exchange for going to, rather than go to court and lose it, we'd like to get something in exchange for that if we can, like no more annexation.
Yeah, but there's no case law to support that either on the moratorium side. If you give up, let's say your deal came through with the last one that you had,
mm-hmm.
There's no legal precedent for that agreement. They could still come back at the end of 5 years and say they want another 300 acres, as long as I think it's less than 500, they could come back and say that, and then challenge that agreement.
I don't think that's the case. That's not what Peter Griggs told us. That's not what he said. He said these things are ironclad. It doesn't mean you can't go back and renegotiate it sometime, mm-hmm. but they are ironclad.
But did he provide you with any case law to back that up?
I don't recall.
He said was there's no case law either right. way because it had never been challenged.
Okay.
So mm-hmm. we just didn't know if a moratorium would hold up or not mm-hmm. had Hubert agreed to it.
Yeah. So you would be the first because they would definitely challenge you at some point. Their intent is to come as far this way
absolutely.
As they can. So even if you get that agreement and you know that there's no case law to back that agreement up in 5 years, if we're lucky enough to make it in 5 years, we would be back in court facing the same thing we're facing now without some case law, in my opinion.
Maybe we'd win. I mean,
Maybe we would. Yeah. The only thing, I mean, agreements are designed to have teeth, and if we put in the agreement that if they do come back and try to annex, they have to repay us all the TIF money or whatever it is that we've given up as a result of that, then maybe they would be less likely to do that. I don't know if that's feasible either.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we have to have an attorney and to tell us whether or not that's feasible. I mean, we could go to court and the judge say, hey, you're not getting a dime, you're still giving up the 300 acres, you know. I mean, that's sometimes what happens with agreements, but think Julie's right in a lot of respects. I don't necessarily want to merge either, but I don't want to be Huber Heights, and I don't think the majority of the citizens in this township want to be Huber Heights. They would probably look more favorable at a Tip City or New Carlisle aspect, as opposed to losing everything on the southern end of Beth Township to the city of Huber Heights. I don't know. I mean, I guess we could have meetings on that and see what the citizens of the township think, but I think that from where I'm standing, and I'm one person, from where I'm standing, I think that that may be a viable possibility if we can't come up with something that's better by, like, a Jed, or, you know, trying to negotiate through the moratorium with, you know, the meat in the agreement for the TIF and the money being returned to us that we've given up. All those things have to come into play. If we can't get any of that, and we're just giving away the kitchen sink and the house along with it, then maybe we do need to look at something where we have a better path, so to speak. Maybe an opportunity to keep our township a little more rural, as opposed to, you know, being eaten alive by Huber Heights. I mean, New Carlisle doesn't have the infrastructure to come this way as rapidly as the city of Huber Heights does, in my opinion. Tip City's focused more on the Monroe Township side, from what I can see. So maybe that would be a lesser of two options there. You know, you're not dealing with Huber Heights wanting to gobble, because we're the direction that seems to be the one that they want. They have other places that they could go out on, but they're only coming this direction as rapidly as they possibly can. And
it's a better deal for them.
Yeah,
because we then get the burden of the schools and the roads and everything.
Right. But that ends too, because, you know, with here they are, they're overcrowding our school. You know, you get to a point where you have to continue to build, and you become that larger district, so the sale of the property becomes less advantageous as well. People buy those houses because of the school district.
Yep.
If you change the direction of the school district, then you change the amount of houses that are needed, or wanted is probably more realistic, wanted, because they're certainly doing a lot of building on the southern end as well, but nothing builds out as quick as our side does because of school. So.
Well, okay, so back to our attorney discussion.
Yeah, I am particularly interested in that they could help, that they have experience writing an agreement from the township side, an annexation agreement with
who does?
The lawyer. The lawyer has experience. That's what I'm looking for in the lawyer. And then a TIF. I'd like, if they have experience in TIFs, because I think we're going to need it. A lot of expertise to know how the best way is to leverage this TIF, these TIFs that we do have. And knowing full well, we gave it up in the first agreement, maybe that's not the strategy, maybe that's I don't know, but that's what I'm looking for. And then Jed's, I still do not like the idea of merging. I feel like it says in the Ohio Revised Code, merge in parentheses, annexation. I mean, that's clearly written in there. And I'd like to hear his what he's done in that. I mean, he's talked about it at OTA, but I'd like to hear the examples of how that looked, what happened, what was the process. As far as Tip City and Vandalia and Huber Heights, they are all a member of Tri-Cities Wastewater. So I rather doubt that they are even willing to enter into any type of merger discussion with us, because that might jeopardize their Tri-Cities agreement. I could be wrong. I don't know. Which then reduces us to one option. But
well, we don't know until we ask them. So, I mean, we have to put the feelers out to see if in fact that they would be interested. We won't know that. But
it's a viable option.
Yeah, right. From an attorney, that's what I'm looking for. Mm-hmm. Is it viable from the standpoint of also, can we have some 100-year agreement where they don't touch us?
Right.
You know, we basically, as somebody called it, we're basically paying them protection money.
Right.
You know, we pay their income tax and they just leave us alone. And I don't know how viable that is. I don't know if it's possible. I don't know, again, if it would be enforceable. Mm-hmm. Because what if we make that agreement and 5 years from now their city council says, oh, well,
we'll just take it over.
Sorry.
Sorry.
So those are the kind of, that's the kind of expertise I would like to get from an attorney on the merger. And also, what is that timeline? What does it stop? When does it stop it? What do we have to do? Because I mean, I've read this a couple of times. I mean, there's a vote in there that has to happen. So that's the kind of expertise I would be looking for. I kind of like Mr. Roach. Mm-hmm. It sounds like their firm has a lot of experience. Mm-hmm. But my concern with that is it going to be more time consuming to pull all these people together to get the right person? I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I talked to both of them, and I've talked to both of them at length. I didn't get the feel from the guy in Columbus that he needed to do all that. I felt more or less like he would be handling all of it. And his primary focus to me was more along trying to establish. He's written off what we've, the expedited type 2 we just got. That's gone. And he said that point blank. But he's more interested in trying to create these, the JED, those kinds of things, to stop anything in the future. And maybe he would be the one that would be able to negotiate some sort of an agreement a little bit better than what we got the last time. In terms of, you know, what we gave up versus what we're going to get from it. And to be quite honest with you guys, we already came to the table with an agreement to begin with based upon conversations that we had, or you, somebody here had, with the city of Heber Heights. And they reneged on that agreement. They told you to bring it to them first. And you did. You brought it to them. And they reneged on it. So to try to negotiate with them again, in my mind, is probably not bargaining in good faith with them. And they know what you're willing to give up because you've already laid it out. So the next time you come in with an agreement, you're probably not going to get any more than what you gave up the last time and what they agreed to give you. If maybe they'll probably give you less this time because they've already seen your hand.
Or since they're even more desperate because they want to build this and the developer's chomping at the bit, maybe they do give up more. You know, I could see it certainly going both ways.
Possibility, but you have to go in with somebody who's got some teeth and is willing to crack the whip. You can't go in hat in hand and say, please do this. You have to have somebody that will go in and really be the pit bull that's needed. And I don't know, I never met the guy in Columbus. This is the first time I've actually seen this guy, but I did talk to him on the phone. I talked to the other one on the phone. Both of them seem to be very knowledgeable. They both have good firms. The one in Columbus is teaches at the OTA, and he was very confident about what he thought he could do. However, I mean, he's already been here once, so I mean, I'm not opposed to hiring him either. If you, we have to hire somebody.
Absolutely.
Somebody has to be hired, and the sooner the better. So, you know, we have to make that decision. We're not in a position now to try to negotiate this on our own. We have to hire somebody who has the expertise to keep us from getting stomped, pretty much.
I'm just reading on Albers and Albers, their news, like where they've worked with them, publications.
What do you
the
think?
CETA outline, comparative analysis of CETA's, JEDs, and annexation agreements. They wrote that. Yeah, that's good.
He said that. He said that on the during the conversation. He said a lot of things, but the most repetitive one was he wasn't going to interview. So
I kind of can't blame him for that.
I can't. I appreciate it, and I told him on the phone I appreciated his honesty. So, you know, I mean, he's pretty confident in his ability. So
he's got a lot of experience. Yeah. I mean, long time. Mm-hmm. Like history of experience.
Yeah, he does. So I will be okay with hiring him as well. I mean, we just need to make a decision. And
I like Albers better than I like John Roach. I thought John Roach was very skilled, but the fact that he had not done an annexation agreement mm-hmm. himself specifically, I just think that we will be paying extra, and maybe it will take longer for him to gather that expertise. Mm-hmm. I'm sure he's got other areas of which he's excellent at. Mm-hmm. Just for me right now, I think the timely thing will be the annexation agreement.
Yeah, I mean, I like Mr. Albers. I liked him from the first time. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I like Mr. Roach too, but I am worried about the coordination. I mean, it sounds like their firm has a lot of the expertise that we need, but he's going to spend time having to go to them and mm-hmm. probably explain things. Mm-hmm. And
you're going to get a firm that has the expertise, but not an individual who has
right
the where all to end all. So,
but that might be good too, mm-hmm. because then people are really truly experts mm-hmm. in that area.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. We just have to hire one. So. Both are fine. Like I said, I talked to both of them, and I don't have any qualms about either one of them. So make a decision.
I'm okay with Mr. Albers.
Okay.
That sounds like. Right. Sounds like we need the other guy, though, for the immediate.
So well, the county is working on that. Looking at
that. Right, to have somebody review it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they hired Brickler and Pecker. Okay, so any other discussion on that item? Okay, so because we have a little time before the zoning interviews, just make sure we have that time. I put in here that we could go into executive session to talk about the compensation of a public employer official. We talked about a lot of this at the last mm-hmm. meeting, but Beth was out of town, mm-hmm. so I thought maybe we could use this to catch up okay. and also get some input from her.
Okay.
So we need a motion for the purpose to consider the compensation of a public employee or official.
Motion.
And I will second that.
Okay. The vote, Trustee Dick?
Yep.
Trustee Van Haren?
Yes.
Trustee Reese? Yes. Time into executive session will be 5:18. And then we'll come back, and if there's any time in between there, we will recess and return. So I'm going to turn off the recording.